Father, we thank you for this very special gift,
yes.
This new Passover, where you give your very self to us.
Yes.
Father, may we recognize you as we come together as the body of Christ.
Yes.
Show your miracles and wonders. Thank you for saving us.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for the new covenant.
Yes.
Yes.
Sealed with the blood.
Yes.
Shed. Thank you, Father, for the blood shed on the cross that takes away our sins. May we rejoice in this, in knowing that we are a saved people. Thank you, Father.
Yes,
we glorify you. May we live in that freedom.
Yes.
Always grateful and rejoicing in our hearts.
Amen.
Stronger as we wait.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We not only look back, we look forward. Amen? Dual blessing. If you're part of the covenant, if the blood of Jesus was shed for you, you believe that and receive, then guess what? We're waiting for his return. Poof! It's over.
Oh, no, it's just beginning.
That's right.
It's over here. Last time we were together, I did mention about the Olympics and the mockery of the table of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that we were facing a lot of persecution and stuff that's going on in the world. I read this week in a news source that probably you'll never hear anywhere else, but on this news source, that there have been 100 churches burnt, Christian churches burnt in the last few years, and the media is not even reporting it. Don't want to get too political, but if that was another religion,
yeah,
it would be all over, and
oh, yeah,
people would be found out really quickly who's doing it and arrested. Last time we were together, I spoke, the Lord gave me a word to hold on, because it's about to get really nasty. And the more I read and the more I see the news, the more I realize we're in the last days, as you said. We're entering into those last days, which we've been for 2,000 years, technically. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 that those last days will be pretty rough. They'll be haters of God, lovers of pleasure, haters, disobedient to parents, and all that stuff. There'd be basically rebellion against God and against any authority. And I think we're seeing that around the world. And we need to be ready. There's only one way to get ready for rebellion, right? Against us. There's only one way to be ready for what Satan is going to throw at the church, and that is to turn to God. Okay? He must be your strength and your source and your power. And today I'm going to preach from Psalm 4. And I've titled this sermon, From Distress to Peace. Just going to let the text do the preaching. From Distress to Peace. Using the New American Standard Version. I'm going to read Psalm 4, which is only 8 verses. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, For thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. So you have at the very beginning, David in distress, and you have at the end, lying down in peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that you are a refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need. That, Lord, there's only one thing we need to hang on to through turbulent times, and you're it. Sink that in our hearts, Lord, that we cannot turn to anything or anyone else, because you are the only one who saves and delivers and sets free and leads into peace and joy. We thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit you will speak to us and encourage us. For that is what you want us to do, as we encourage one another in the Word of God for such a time as this. We thank you for your Word and for Holy Spirit applying it to our hearts, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. How many are calling to the Lord these days? There are lots of things we call to the Lord for, but if you're really paying attention to what's going on, you're seeing that there is an angst in society, there's an uneasiness, there's a time in society where things just seem to be chaotic and confused, and there's anxiety everywhere for the future. Young people have no hope. I've said this before. Last night there was a big storm in air which took out a building, a Home Hardware. Everywhere you look, there's floods and fires and wars and things going on, and it seems like the whole world is just groaning and something's about to bust. You see the uneasiness in the United States, and there really is no hope there with any of the leaders, I don't think. There is one better than the other, but ultimately we cannot put our faith in man, right? Or woman. The world is crazy. You sit and you watch TV and you've got to endure just blatant, non-stop barrage of sin. Enticement to indulge in those sins. And it seems that these things are really popular, these shows of sin, because there's just one after another keeps coming up all the time. So they must be doing well. People love to either see other people's misery or see other people's indulging in sin. And it, as Eddie said, it just seems to be so in your face. There's a mockery of God. There's a mockery of Christ. And there's this blatant, we don't want what your God is offering. We don't want it. We want to do our own thing, which is exactly what 2 Timothy 3 says. And so that's where we are. And in the midst of this, in verse 2, David says, O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long must I endure your stupidity? Must I endure you attacking me and slandering me and burning down our churches and saying, you Christians don't have anything, you're all messed up and your Bible is false and we're not going to listen to that, and you got gurus on TV advocating this is not the only way to God, there's multiple ways, this is not the only book, and there's multiple books, and we just continually bombarded with that message that Jesus is not the only way. I watched a video by the famous New Age guru, Oprah Winfrey. Dangerous woman. I don't know why I watch this. It comes up on my phone, I guess. Because I want to be in touch with what people are thinking and what people are saying. Anyway, she's very clear that Jesus is not the only way. Even though she was raised pretty conservative Christian, she's far from those roots. I kept thinking of Acts 4:12, right? There's no other name given to men under heaven by which they must be saved. There's no other name. It's so clear, it's so plain, and yet we continue to hear, and in churches, we continue to see people preaching false gospels, false messages, and we really need to stand. It's a time to stand. And how do we stand like David when he sees that people are against him, They're mocking him. He says in verse 2, how long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? How long will you continue to put your faith and trust in these lies and deception and be against me? And I think many Christians are feeling like the pressure of, wow, is my message really true? Is it really that exclusive? Yeah, it is. Jesus is the only way, the only life. He's it. There's no other Savior. There's no other means by which we must be saved. He's it. And so as Christians, quote unquote, continue to compromise that message, we need to stand and believe who we believe. And we need to stand firm on the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, it is possible. Number one, it's possible because we cry out to God. That's where our strength comes from. So his first response, in the middle of everybody attacking him and saying things about him, oh God, my righteousness. Now, this is such a fascinating one. I'm going to do a little bit of Hebrew, but not too much. But I just spent a whole lot of time in this song. God laid it on my heart at the beginning of the week, which is really cool because then I get to spend a lot of time in it. But the first point is, if you're taking notes, this sermon is called, they don't do this very often, but we're going from distress to peace. The first step is we have a Father who hears. Okay, we have a Father who hears. I call, O God of my righteousness. And such an interesting word because what he's doing, he's calling out to the God who can do something, the only God. And why does he call out to God? Because he's in relationship with God. He calls unto him like a father. Oh God, be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. Relieve me. Answer me. See, the reason he's able to do that, because he knows this God. Okay, you don't call to someone to answer and relieve and be gracious and hear me if he's not there. He's in a relationship with this God, and he knows him as a father who hears him. Okay? And this is so important. He's the God of my righteousness, or the God who is righteous. Many translations say, NIV says, answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. So there's a God who gives us righteousness, who declares us righteous because of our faith in him. But then there's this righteous God who is able to do something about what's going on against his kids. And that's who he's appealing to. A righteous God. Righteous not in the sense of perfectly holy and pure, but righteous in the sense that he always does what is right, and he always does what is just, and he's able to stand up and do something about the situation. And if you read Psalm 18, it's amazing. I love Psalm 18, and I encourage you to read it. I'm just going to go there real quickly, because I don't want to get it wrong, but verse 1, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And that's his confidence in the Lord. That's the Lord he knows. Strength, rock, fortress, deliverer, shield, refuge, salvation. And I love verse 7, after he cries out to God, the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by. He bowed the heavens also and came down. It's like God hears the cry of his children, and it stirs him up, and he gets on his horse, and he's about to come down and kick Satan's butt because he doesn't want his kids assaulted by Satan. And that's the picture. Why would you call on someone who's not going to do anything? You call on someone, you call out for help because that person can do something. Yeah. In this particular case, he's crying out to Father God. And it's a very intimate scene. Okay, oh God of my righteousness, he's a father who hears. God promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's appealing to God's mercy. Because God is the deliverer and the shield and the defender of the weak. Mm-hmm. And so, number one, we have a Father who hears. Mm-hmm. Number two, verse 3, I love this verse, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. We have a God who saves. Now I'm going to unpack this because it's a very powerful passage. The Lord has separated. He's consecrated. He set apart his own kids. Okay? Just like any parent in here, if you heard your kid crying, you would run. If you saw them in danger, you would run. He knows them. And why does he know them? And the word godly there, I don't know if you have another translation, but it's literally the word hasid, which comes from the incredible word that you can't unpack in one day. It's the Hebrew word hesed, which is covenant love. Covenant love. And it's a derivative of that word, which literally means, I have set apart those beloved ones. Not the godly ones, the ones who have been redeemed and brought into my fold, brought into my house, that I am their father and I love them. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, right, that we should be called children of God. It's the beloved. And he says of David, David says, know that the Lord has set apart the loved one for himself. God loves us. Okay, and this is such an incredible truth, that if he really loves us, it's a covenantal love. The word hesed is a covenantal love. Just as Brother Eddie was sharing, God has covenanted. Do you know how he covenants himself? There is no covenant without the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, they had to enter into the covenant with God by shedding blood. How did God covenant with Abraham? He put Abraham to sleep, and he cut up a whole bunch of animals and laid them on each side, and God walked through the middle. Okay? That's the covenant. God covenants. Jesus Christ came down, friends, shed his blood, the blood of the covenant, so that we could be in relationship, right, with him. And we could be in that relationship where he's our Father and our God and our protector. He is the God who saves. The moment we put our faith in him, and listen, this is such a beautiful picture, because technically, if you go back to the book of Genesis, God doesn't need us to seal the covenant. Okay? We might as well be asleep, because we don't do anything except believe. God puts Abraham asleep and cuts the animals and walks through. And literally, the covenant is, whenever two people enter the covenant, they would, the one who made the covenant with the other would say, may it be to me as these animals.
Yeah, right. Wow.
God says that. Mm-hmm. May I be killed if I do not uphold my end of the bargain? God comes down, and he dies, sheds his blood to enter into the covenant. We didn't do anything. We might as well be asleep. And we were, technically, dead in our sins, asleep in the grave. And God comes down and seals a covenant with us. And it's such a wonderful picture. So God says, I saved you. And David realizes this. I know that the Lord has set me apart, and he loves me for himself. And he hears me because he has done that. And I'm in a relationship with him. And he's by covenant, set his affection on me and brought me into his family. And because he has done that, he will protect me. And he will get me to the finish line. And I just love this picture. And so we have a Father who hears. We have a God who saves. Okay. And Psalm 18, you go home and read the whole thing, because it's about a saving God. No matter what we're going through, God can save. And it's so phenomenal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus, indeed. Well, we have this confidence that because we are covenanted to God, he hears us. We are loved children. And David knew it. And here's the question, friends. Do you know it? Do you know it? I know lots of people waver back and forth. Okay? The goal of this sermon is that you might know God. Okay? That's the goal. That you would know God, who he is. That he's a Father who loves you and who hears you, and he's a God who saves. And thirdly, he's a Lord who is present with his people. Okay? That's point number three. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call. Why? Because I've been set apart. I've been set apart. I'm part of the covenant. I've been saved and redeemed. And I'm a child of God. And he hears me. That's the confidence. This whole psalm is about confidence. You have confidence in God. No matter how bad it's going to get, that God is going to get you through.
Amen.
Okay? That's the motivation. Don't lean on your own understanding. And we see that in verses 6 through 8. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Is there anybody out there who will change what's going on? That's what he's saying. Is there anybody? In verse 4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness. Get your lives right with God through the blood of Christ. Trust in him. And others will say, well, where is your God? How come it's just unraveling? How come it just seems to be unraveling? David says it's not unraveling. He says, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. This is such an amazing picture. Literally means turn your face towards us. That's what the Hebrew says. God, turn your face towards us. Where have you heard that before? That's the Aaronic blessing of Numbers chapter 6. Right? Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you. Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. Okay? That's what he's doing. Say, wait, I've been hearing this all my life. I've been reciting this all my life. This is the God I know. This is the God who is always there, who actually wants to bless me. And if I stay close to him, I will be blessed. Not only that, his presence is with me. He will turn his face towards me. How do I know when God's face is turned towards me? There's gladness in my heart. There's joy in my heart. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? Come on. If you're saved, you have a joy unspeakable full of glory. Amen? Right? You never had that joy before. Right? That's what he's talking about. It's a joy. The Lord has put joy in my heart. Not because of anything I've done, because his presence is here. The Lord is love. The Lord is joy. Wherever he is in me, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace, okay? So I have to focus on the Lord, not on the situation that's at hand. That's so important to get through these tough times. The Lord who is present. Now watch what he says. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than when grain and new wine abound. Now, this is very interesting. He's always making this comparison between those who don't know and those who are against him. And he's calling out, guys, turn to Jesus, turn to the Lord. But some people put their faith in horses, some in chariots. Some put in new grain. You know how many people turn to food to deal with stuff?
Right.
Or new wine. God is blessing me. Look at the heart. Look at all the stuff I have. Look at the wine and the food and the fancy cars and everything. Look, I must be blessed. This is where my joy is, in the material possessions. And God says, no. That's superficial joy. It's going to fade. As soon as you lose that, as soon as it breaks down, I know from experience, brand new car breaks down, your joy is gone. Your joy has to be in the Lord, who is steadfast and true, right? Amen. That's what he's saying. Lift up thy light. The light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. For you have put gladness in our hearts. We want to stay close to you. We want to see your face. We want to feel your presence. And I am present with you. And often, listen, you might not feel it. We don't want to go by feelings. There's a lot too many people going by feelings. We got to go by the truth of the Word of God. And that's the point of this, is just to declare that we have a Father.
Yes.
Who loves us. Who hears us. Right? We have a God who saves us and is able to save us. No matter what we're going through, he's able to rescue us. And we have a Lord who is present. And he's able to fill us with joy in the middle of chaos. And David receives that. He gets to that point where, wow, God, I have you. And these people have their stuff. They have the worldly things they're hanging on to. But I have you. And
yes.
Even if all that is gone, I
yes.
still have you.
Yes.
Right? And therefore, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. That's so interesting, lie down and sleep. You know, you just meditate a little bit. How many people, when they get anxious, they lie down, but they don't sleep? They just lie down. They think about all the things that are wrong. There's a big difference between lying down and sleeping and just lying down.
Yeah.
And staying awake all night, thinking about all the things that you got to get yourself out of. Right? That's a good test. Are you lying down and sleeping? Or are you laying awake all night? But this is peace. This is real peace. I can sleep in the middle of all that's going on in the world. Why? Because you alone make me dwell in safety. You alone bring peace. You alone fill my heart with joy and peace. And your presence is all I covet. Because in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen? That's what Scripture says.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I had this verse which the Lord is reminding me of. It's in Psalm 50, verse 5. Verse 3 of chapter 4 says, know that the Lord has set apart the godly. And Psalm 50, verse 5 says this. Gather my godly ones to me, of those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. What is the definition of a godly one? Which means loved. It's those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Those who have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ are in covenant with him. And they can receive him as Father, receive him as the God who saves, and receive him as the Lord who never leaves them and defends them and provides peace for them. The Lord of peace. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my joy. And it's so important that we do stuff like this, that we remember the covenant, okay? And I'm so glad. It's just amazing how you brought that up, Bruno. Because it really is reminding ourselves. What is David doing? He's simply reminding himself over and over again. In the middle of the chaos, this is who I am. I'm a child of God. He loves me. I can have his joy and his peace no matter what's going on around me. Okay, I'm not leaning on my material possessions. I'm not going to get myself out of my own problems. I'm not going to turn to substances like food or alcohol or anything else to get myself out of a problem. I'm just going to go to God because he loves me.
Amen.
Right? That's it. That's the message. That's, that David gets there. And he gets there all the time. He always starts out. And it's okay to do this. God, I'm really having a hard time. I'm in distress. It's tough. I look around and the water in the basement, the flooding, and there's, you know, fires all around me, and I see, and I lost my job, and whatever's going on, I got sickness, I got pain. But God.
Amen.
But
Amen.
God.
But God.
Thank you, Jesus. That's where he gets to. Friends, that's where we got to get to. You cannot focus on the world. If you focus on the world, anxiety, stress, and all the other disorders that are out there. If you focus on Jesus, he promises peace. My peace I give you. My peace I leave you. In this world you will have trouble. Fear not, I've overcome the world. Right? Remain in me. Your joy will be complete, because my joy will be in you. All these amazing promises. And so I want to encourage you, just like David, run to the Father. Run to the God who saves. And run to the Lord who rescues and delivers and is always present with you. He's never far. He never leaves or forsakes. You know, when you woke up this morning, God was there with you.
That's right. Yep.
You know, when you got in the car, God was there with you.
Yes.
Nothing will happen to you unless he wants it to happen. Okay? Some people are saying God's not sovereign. I got news for you. God's sovereign.
Yes.
Okay? He can do anything he wants, whenever he wants, and always as they don't do
this. Yes.
Okay? And we have no idea how many times in a day he rescues and saves us and delivers us from things that we don't even realize. Right? Like that distracted driver who's texting while driving, and suddenly he's in your lane, and all of a sudden, just before they hit you, they move over.
Right.
That's God.
Yeah.
Right? It's not me.
Yeah.
It's God. Because we're his kids. And friends, that may not always be the case.
Still
but we know where we're going.
Amen.
Absent from the body, present before the Lord, which is even better. He doesn't have to come to me. I'm going to go to him, and we're going to be together anyway. So it's a wonderful truth, right? And David knew it. He had a heart after God, and in the middle of these crises and all the stuff that's going on, it's the same message. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Amen? Anybody want to add to that? I'll stop.
I think of it came in Philippians, therefore think upon these things.
Yes.
Dial down the world stuff.
Yes.
Set your mind
on things above.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. That was a persecuted church. That's exactly what they're going through, right?
Yes.
Difficult times. And I just... Let me just say, it doesn't come naturally.
Right.
We actually need to practice that.
Right.
Because our default, according to Scripture, is we seem to lean on our own understanding. Well, you know, if I just do this and I get myself out of this, and if I line this up and make this work, then that will happen. And run to Jesus. Trust me, He can do a much better job than you can with your life.
Mm.
Yep. That's the truth.
Mm.
He's my healer. I can't heal myself. I can learn to every doctor on the planet, but ultimately, He's going to heal me.
Mm.
Right?
Amen.
Or kill me and take me home, which I'm fine with too. Right? That's such a powerful passage, and we quote it all the time, and some of these passages become so familiar that we just rhyme them off. And we don't even think about what we're saying. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Right? And the peace of God. See, it's peace.
Yes.
Stop focusing on the world and start focusing on Jesus. And the peace. Why? Because He's the Prince of Peace. Anyway, you guys know all this. But we need to remind each other.
Yes.
And we need to remind others who seem to be sucked in by the anxiety of the world. And there's a lot of it out there. And there's more coming. And if you're a follower of Jesus, there's going to be a great falling away, the Bible says, because they're going to think man's going to get them out of this trouble. Only God. It's only God.
Yes.
But God. Like,
but God.
But God.
Amen.
Maybe I should have titled it that. But God.
More and more we need to remember these truths and we need to put them into practice more and more.
Yes.
We need to encourage each other with these truths.
Yes.
To encourage each other to put them into practice.
Yes.
Amen.
Every day.
Yes.
And not be offended when somebody's quoted scripture to us. Because often we whatever, you don't understand what I'm going through. There you go, just going to scripture. No, it's truth.
Yes.
You need to hear truth.
That's right.
Because the enemy's lying to you.
That's right.
You don't have to settle for anxiety and depression. That's not what God wants. He came to give abundant life.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
So let's choose that. Let me find the path to joy and peace, not anxiety and depression.
Right.
And don't go to counselors to just validate. Okay? Go to counselors to say, you need Jesus. You got to get your eyes off your problems and look to Jesus. And that's tough. But friends, if you hear something over and over and over again, at some point it's going to go in. If you go to a multitude of counselors and everybody's saying the same thing, Jesus, go to Jesus. I think at some point you just go, oh, maybe I should go to Jesus. What a great idea. But that's okay. We got to get there. And we walk together and we encourage each other. Amen?
Amen.
All right. It's pretty short. It's not even an hour and a half yet. Can you believe that? We have time to sing.
Woohoo!
Let's sing a few more songs. Thank you, Lord.